Pebbles, get on my elevator, baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later, I can't get enough.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We're going to talk tight ends in a minute. One of the best tight ends, certainly for a long time, certainly solid at the very least. Heath Miller hanging up his cleats for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Been a staple for them whenever he'd catch a ball. Heath.
I don't know if I'd call him one of the best, though.
He's solid.
Solid is a better word.
He was a top five tight end for maybe 3 or 4 years in the NFL.
But he's always been a top half of the league tight end. He's been a very solid starter. Good starter. Plus starter.
Yes.
Yeah. Not a lead. He wasn't.
We would have taken him.
Yeah. So he's hanging up. Did you see? We didn't get talked about this. Did you see Jared Allen's retirement video?
Riding off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid. I didn't watch the video, but I just saw the picture. It looked pretty cool.
Oh, he comes up and he talks and he says he's hanging up and he goes, this is the part where I'd ride off into the sunset if there was a sunset, but it's cloudy, so I'm just going to ride off. And then he turns around and literally rides off. It was great. Should be in a movie. All right. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. 216-578-0850. Dave in Avon. Welcome to the show,
guys.
Dave.
How you doing?
Good.
You talk about the Peyton Manning thing. I agree with the kid there. It's
his birthday.
Peyton Manning. But look, here's the thing. I've read all about it since it came out, To me, it doesn't seem like he did. You know, maybe he mooned her. Maybe he pulled something out. I don't know. I don't think it was that bad of a deal. But the whole thing is you know, ESPN kind of sat on it for a few days before they even mentioned anything, and I think he's right about it. If it was Brady, I mean, look at the Deflategate. As soon as something happened, they're talking about it, and they reported it wrong. They reported 2 pounds of air pressure.
Oh, that's a joke. And we've been all over the NFL for that. I don't know why people hate Tom Brady.
But after they did that, then, like, I think they should get their draft pick back.
Absolutely they should. It's criminal.
They didn't even prove anything. How can they take this stuff away and then – you know, Manning, it's kind of like, oh, maybe he did. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess it's just a double standard against them. I mean, I think he's right on that.
I don't disagree with that.
Did Tom Brady maybe tell a guy, hey, man, there's a little much air, let it out? I'm not going to say he didn't say that. But
the natural gas law explains it all.
And not to mention, we're talking about two distinctly different things here. And I'm not here to say Peyton Manning, what he did was the worst thing in the world. But I am a big fan of women's lib. I support women's lib. And the man is accused of something that's way worse than deflating footballs.
Are you kidding me?
You think deflating footballs is worse than potentially doing something offensive to a female?
If he moons somebody? Yes. Willfully, knowingly cheating at a game where there's a lot of people's money on the line, people's livelihoods on the line.
Hold on. Forget about livelihoods. Yeah. This lady's livelihood, she was forced to leave Tennessee.
She's a serial sewer.
She was forced to leave Tennessee. She's a serial sewer who, by the way, he paid and settled with. Let's keep ignoring the fact that he settled with her and you come up with your theories of, oh, I'm going to pay someone $300,000 because I don't want the trouble. Okay. If you pay, you're admitting guilt. Okay. As far as that's my ethics, in my mind, you pay, you're admitting guilt.
Do you know who else she sued?
Who?
Some fashion designer she sued for basically the same thing who was a female.
You know what?
But he ruined her life and sold the case, so he must have done something wrong. This is Clay Travis. No, he didn't. Did you read this article?
Okay, so you read one article. Read the other article.
But the other article has been discredited by everybody in the world.
Except for the only person that it mattered to, who was the judge. It was presented to a judge. And it was presented to a judge to say if it was going to go to trial or not. And the judge said, yes, there's enough evidence here that it's going to go to trial. A judge.
Right, but if the judge actually thought that it was right, he would issue a summary judgment and it wouldn't go to trial.
No, he'd make a ruling. Go read the legal stuff that's been written about this. If the judge didn't think it was right, if the judge didn't think it, he could have thrown it away.
Correct.
So he thought there was enough evidence to take it to trial, and Peyton Manning thought there was enough evidence that I'm going to settle with her.
I totally disagree.
Okay. So you feel, just so the public knows, Nate thinks it's worse to deflate a football than it is to insult a woman. For the record.
No, I said
next topic, Gibbs. What are we on to?
I said mooning somebody is not the same.
Who do we got on the phones now? I'm sure they're going to support me. as Stu Gatz would say, as Stu Gatz would say to Le Batard, take the L.
Take the L. I'm not taking the L on this.
Take the L, Dan.
Go read. This is a common thing. This is a common thing. People settle stuff all the time, especially wealthy people settle things all the time just to make them go away. That's true. You know that's true.
It's an admission of guilt in my mind.
But that doesn't mean that's an admission of guilt.
I'm not saying what he did was the worst thing in the world, but I'm just saying that the cover-up that he
did. So you really think what he did was worse than if there was a systematic cheating in the National Football League?
But there wasn't.
If it existed.
But there wasn't a systematic cheating, though.
Peyton Manning was a 19-year-old college kid, first of all. You're talking about a grown man working with other grown men. If.
But it didn't. But it didn't take place.
But that's.
And even if it did, it's just
you
like.
You can't prove that.
So, okay, so what about like a guy corking a bat? Is that worse too? It's a systematic corking a bat is going to help me hit a home run. So that's.
Yes.
Come on.
Then a 19-year-old college kid mooning somebody?
Come on.
Yes.
And then covering it up and telling stories that weren't true.
Why'd she sign the affidavit saying that nothing ever happened?
I'm not aware of that.
Well, that's kind of a critical. That's kind of a critical piece to the whole case.
But then why did he? Then why did he pay her?
Because she brought it back and had lawyers. And
she brought it back up because he told a story that was not true. Then why did he pay if he was so right? Why did he pay? They're the first football. Okay. They're the first family of American.
Let me ask
football.
You a question. Don't you think? And this is from the article. Don't you think if she believed she'd been assaulted, that she would have mentioned it as part of her sexual harassment lawsuit, which she did not do? Did not.
I'm not saying she was
or
assaulted.
Or told authorities, would she have gotten more money than $300,000 she actually got at the school star quarterback had put his butt and whatever? Also, she said on her face. She didn't say it then because it never happened.
She was paid $300,000 for something. What was she paid $300,000?
After 7 years.
So wait a minute. So
hold
if
on,
that's
hold
the
on,
case,
hold on, hold on. After 7 years, after 7 years of signing affidavits saying that no contact had ever occurred, all of a sudden, 7 years later, with new lawyers, she says that somebody did.
So then why? Well, maybe because in this country, you get ostracized for bringing up charges and you become the victim. How many rape victims have become the
That's a totally separate issue.
No,
and unfair to apply to this. When this is someone who is a clear thirsty for litigation and to make
then
money.
Why did he pay her?
Just to make it go
okay,
away.
Okay, so then fine. Then 9 million people should line up right now to sue Peyton Manning because he's going to pay them to make it go away. Come on. You can't tell me there's not something he did wrong. If he's writing a check for $300,000, there's something he did wrong.
Yes, I think he clearly mooned her.
For $300,000, I don't know. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, Peyton Manning isn't as squeaky clean as everybody thinks. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if he was as squeaky clean or not, but I'm saying what happened in this particular case, knowing the facts of the case as we know them now from both sides, as opposed to you just reading something that her lawyer
right, but
prepared.
But you're dismissing that. A judge read that. There was evidence in there. What about the guy?
Hold on. Let me ask a question right now. If you were to go, let's say that you were going to get divorced and you had your lawyer craft a document. Just solely slanting, stating your side things, or you were in some type of a business dispute with somebody or whatever, and your lawyer crafted a document, they go to the extreme on one side of it, regardless if there's fact.
Okay, but the judge looked at that, and a judge's role is to look at all what's presented.
And all he said is that it's worth looking at.
Okay, worth looking at. So it wasn't frivolous. You're making it seem like it was frivolous. There was something there it was worth looking at, and the guy paid $300,000.
And it isn't a criminal standard. In a civil suit.
Okay. But if you paid $300,000,
I think you're completely wrong.
No.
Completely wrong.
Take the L.
You take the L.
Take the L.
So you think that every suit
if
that settles somebody guilty.
If someone pays $300,000, yeah.
And every suit that somebody sells.
$300,000 is not chump change no matter what you make. That's a lot of money.
Think about if you're Peyton Manning and you go through this, what are your legal fees going to be if this goes
not $300,000.
30 days?
We'll get back to this on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm sure people want to.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The argument has not stopped.
It's ridiculous. What does he gain?
He settled with her twice.
What does he gain for pursuing this? That he, in your mind, he clears his name to you?
And he clears his name to himself.
He knows. It's going to cost him so much more to go through court to get that. Whatever.
I'm
if he knows,
if it's me and I have the means. Now, if it's me and I don't have the means, if I have $350,000 and I could settle for $20,000 or spend $500,000 that I don't have, it's one thing. But if I got the money and this guy has hundreds of millions of dollars, I am not giving
grand to him.
I am not giving this money grubber, as you call her. I don't necessarily think that, but if it was me, I'm not giving the money grubber one penny, even if it cost me 10 times as much to clear my name.
So you'd spend $3 million to prove
if I'm worth hundreds of millions of dollars,
to prove what you already know to be true, instead of spending just $300,000.
Yes.
That I would not do that.
If someone accuses you of something, I go to the end of the earth to prove my innocence.
Yeah, but you know the truth.
Doesn't matter. I'm going
to
prove
it. Who are you trying to prove it to?
The world.
I thought you just said you were proving it to yourself. That's what you just said.
No, no, no. I'm going to prove it to the world that I am innocent. I'm not going to settle and sit here and say that I'm giving money. You give money. It's in, what are you giving money for then? To just go away? No, you're admitting.
Because then you can get it sealed. You can get it so it goes away. Like it literally is over with.
Who violated the confidentiality agreement, by the way?
She said that he did, even though he didn't mention her by name in his book.
Okay, but he mentioned it.
He shouldn't have. That was dumb on his part.
Okay.
I'm not saying, again, he
was wrong, and he had to pay for it twice.
All right, let's go to Blanca in Bay Village. Blanca.
Oh, man, and happiest of birthdays, the kid.
Blanca!
Blanca, long time no speak, my friends.
I'm trying to figure out if you would pay $3 to expunge the record of us in the Canadian Border Patrol.
Oh, that was quite a story that I will have to get into. So Blanca and I one time went to a business meeting, and we crossed the border to go in some fine Canadian establishments. And Blanca, for those of you that don't know, has like a look that maybe he could be a terrorist. He's not. He's a fine American. But would you agree, Blanca?
I would agree that I have that look. The fine American is under debate right now.
And he only had a license at the time. They wanted you to have a passport, but they let you go with a license. They took us off to the side, and we're about seven drinks in at this point. And they took us. They were interrogating
driving
us. We had a taxi cab. So the taxi cab driver's waiting for us. We're staying on the American side, and the taxi cab is waiting for us to go through customs. It was just a classic scene. It really was.
And that night, of course, produced the greatest 3 o'clock in the morning Canadian gyro known to mankind.
Yes,
so that's always a topper, too.
Yes, it did.
So, you know,
among many more R-rated stories.
I have to agree with the kid, guys. Listen, it's not an admission of guilt. It's an admission of culpability. He knows that something was going there. He paid that money to go ahead and make it go away. And when you do that, you're definitely saying that there's something there or something else you're hiding.
I disagree. We have a guy who's a civil lawyer on here who says, the kid does not understand how the system works. People settle frivolous and fraudulent claims all the time. It's a risk-benefit analysis. Take the
allegation. A civil lawyer would not love that because it's 40%.
Exactly. Exactly.
But that's just the truth. That's just how it works.
That's a money-grubbing lawyer out there.
I bet you that contract was signed with that girl right before the Papa John's renewal was signed. Don't want that.
Come on. So you want to be in a messy, public, drawn-out litigation.
To prove my innocence, yes.
But trust me, I'm going to pay the girl. I don't care. I'm in. If I got that much money, pay everybody. I'm cool. I'm still paying the kid, for God's sake.
Blanca, appreciate the call.
Don't be a stranger, Jimmy.
Happiest of birthdays, buddy.
Who's Jimmy? I thought it was Blanca.
Let's go to Nate in West Salem now. Nate, how are you?
Good, guys. Gentlemen, this entire conversation is a big L. We need to
move. All right, let's move on. Yes. Okay, good point. Fair what point. Do you want to talk about? Fair point.
My brother gave me a Peyton Hillis jersey that one great year he rocked for us. I've been looking for the best Browns player in our history who wears the number 40. So that I can have a seamstress stitch a new name on the back. I need some help. I'll leave that with you guys.
Ooh, all interesting. Right, let's do a little research on that. Best Browns player to ever wear the number 40.
Vardell was 44, right?
Touchdown Tommy. And I don't know if he would be the best. What number did Ben Gay wear?
Ben Gay, I think, was 34.
Yeah.
Spent my friend Spence had a Ben Gay jersey.
I like that one. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do the tight end six-pack Friday forecast. We can merge into one massive segment, Gibbs, because we can roll through the tight ends quick, because Matt Wilhelm gave dynamite tight end analysis at the beginning of the program.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. The Birthday Boys music's playing. Are we going to go Friday forecast right here, Gibbs?
You guys tell me. I'm following your lead.
Just run right through it. It'll be a massive tight end edition of the Friday forecast and then Friday forecast.
Sounds good.
10 questions for the key hit.
Let's go.
One for every number one.
All right, we'll start with the tight ends. Is Gary Barnage a top five tight end in the NFL right now?
No.
No. I love him, but come on. He's big play Gare, though. He's top five big play Gares in the NFL.
What is
he's
that
the best
even
tight
mean?
End is a, he's the best Browns tight end.
Maybe the best Browns tight end since Ozzie?
I would take right now, give five tight ends that you would take over him in the league right now. Gronk. Jimmy Graham.
Olsen.
Greg Olsen.
Martellus Bennett.
Travis Kelce. Delaney Walker.
Yes.
Juju Thomas. 80, as you like to call him.
Oh, yeah. Love 80.
But he's probably in the top 12.
Yeah, I mean,
based on production.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if
based
he's
on
like,
this
based
year.
On, like,
absolutely.
I mean, he's got to, you know, validate what he did this year.
Tyler
he's
Eifert.
Come back. Oh, yeah. He's got to come back and do it again, though.
Yeah.
Number two. Question number two. Is Gary Barnage the best player on the Browns right now?
I hope not. No offense to him, but.
No.
Right now?
No.
Who's better?
I don't think we need to get into all that.
It's a Brown show.
Yeah.
Chicken. We're going to build him up, not bring him down.
Chicken. Number three. How important will the tight end position be on this team under Hugh Jackson, do you think?
Well, based on what you saw in Cincinnati this year, I'm going to say it's going to be very important.
Allow myself to answer your question question.
Can you answer this one?
How many red zone touchdowns did Tyler Eifert score last year?
12 of 14,
against the Browns,
correct?
Or against the other teams?
And against the whole for the whole season.
Here goes Nate with his facts, getting in the way of a good argument.
Yep, I'm going to take a little nap.
You're Mr. Numbers.
Yeah, but I make up my numbers.
And the truth comes
touché.
Out.
Touche.
The answer is 12. Yes. So, yes, it will be a big factor.
12 of how many?
13.
12 of 13. I was 12 of 14. I was way off.
You were not way off. You were very good. You're good at guessing stats. Not Gibbs.
Gibbs? Not so much. anyway, to answer the question, I think it's going to be huge. I really do. A, you've got a guy that just produced, and as I've mentioned already, no knock against Gary Barnage, but I doubt he'll have that type of year again. Because the bullseye is now on him, and defenses will focus on him if they can't add playmakers around Gary Barnage. But I think, as you said, going back and looking at the emphasis and the emergence of Tyler Eifert and the weapon he became for Andy Dalton and how comfortable Andy Dalton looked having that weapon in the middle,
yeah,
along with A.J. Green, Sanu, and Marvin Jones.
It was huge for them.
Number four. Question number four. Any chance E.J. Bibbs will make an impact to tight end for this team in 2016?
You know, Nate and I were just discussing this yesterday when the Jim Dre news broke. And I was always a big Dibbs guy. And I'm looking for him to really step up next year. In the
Did you say you're a big Dibbs guy?
Yeah, that's what I call him.
The ice cream Dibbs?
In the two tight end set, I look for him to be a huge threat down the seam. I look for him to look a little bit like Tyler Eifert in this offense.
I don't. This is nothing against E.J. Bibbs. I'm just saying we need to add weapons at tight end. And, yes, you saw flashes of what he did in the preseason and out in training camp. But there was a reason why he didn't play. He was not ready. He needs to take a big step. And if we don't add any other tight ends, I could see him have a role in this offense. But I believe we will because Gary Barnage is, in fact, 30. We're only going to have him for a short window of time. Randall Telfer is not that, you know, pass-catching,
right,
you know, tight end. So either via free agency, we're going to find that marginally expensive guy that's got 2 or 3 years or that just hit the market to become that guy in this, or we're going to draft a guy.
Yeah, I think that Bibbs will have an opportunity. I think he needs to work on his conditioning a little bit. I think that he needs to really get ready to come in and compete because he has
an
opportunity.
He's really not even a tight end. He's a U.
As a pass catcher, he has an opportunity. I think Telfer's going to kind of fill that Dre role. But there, you need somebody, and we'll get to the next question. We'll answer it. Go ahead.
Number five. Should the Browns upgrade the tight end position via the draft or free agency?
Yes. Yes.
I would say probably both. I think that you, I'm not saying you spend a high pick on it, but I would look for a developmental guy, maybe a former basketball player. I mean, that's worked so many different times.
somebody late in the draft that's real athletic, and then maybe in the free agent market, I'd look for a blocking tight end.
And to me personally, when you talk about cultures, we've mentioned, you know, the role Josh McCown will play for this team, and whether either playing and starting football games or mentoring that young quarterback that we do draft, if we do draft one at number two, Gary Barnidge can still be productive on the football field, but he epitomizes everything that you want in a Cleveland Brown, with him wanting to stay here, get rewarded because of his production this late in his career by this football team, that if you do draft a tight end at somewhere in those, you know, third to fifth round, who's your next Gary Barnidge guy, or you do sign a young player who better to look up to than Gary Barnidge? And when, if you work and you're patient, good things happen to you, and it happened for Gary.
No question. I do think that they have an opportunity to add somebody, and I'd look for a big, athletic, speed tight end, pass-catching, slanted tight end.
Number six.
Number six.
Next to Dwayne Bowe was Rob Hausler, one of the more disappointing free agents this team signed last year.
Yeah, I forgot about Hausler already.
I don't consider Dwayne Bowe a disappointment. I feel like he got no opportunity.
Okay, Randy Starks.
Again,
he's not here anymore.
Again, Dwayne Bowe got no opportunity. Why? Because, I mean, the coaches saw him practice every day. I'm just saying, you know.
I saw plenty of people, talk to plenty of people who practiced with him that thought he could play.
Well, let's see where he ends up this year. I'll take under on how many catches.
Under what?
Whatever the number.
24.
Under 24 catches?
Yes.
If he's on a team this year?
And if he's not on a team, that speaks volumes, and then I win anyways.
Well, maybe he decides to hang it up. Maybe he doesn't want to go through this. It was a tough year. I had a great talk with Dwayne Bowe. I like Dwayne Bowe. Rob Hausler, though, very disappointing. People thought he'd come in and do Jordan Cameron type of things in this offense. Instead, he was gonzo, balonzo.
He struggled right from the get-go, though.
Struggled from the get-go. Couldn't catch the ball. Part of being able to catch the ball is catching the ball. If we're going to boil it down to its simplistic.
Minus quarterback and offensive line, you need to be able to catch the football.
You got
to
catch the ball. Like, you're the one-handed catching machine. You're a machine.
Right.
He is not. Yeah, he was very disappointing. There were high hopes for him. I had high hopes for him. He basically, when you looked at his size, his speed, his run ability after the catch, his numbers were basically identical to Jordan Cameron's throughout his career. All of his metrics, all of his analytics, etc. Just on the field, it wasn't there.
Number seven.
That's why analytics is just a piece of the puzzle, folks.
We go to the Friday forecast.
Yes.
We are 1 week away, less than a week, really, from the NFL Combine. Give me one guy who will turn everyone's head and one guy who won't live up to expectations over the coming week.
Well, not just because he's the Michigan man represented by the agent of the stars, but I'm going to tell you, Will Henry is going to test off the charts and is shooting up draft boards all over the town. So I think he's going to shoot up. I think someone that's going to disappoint a little bit in the workouts is going to be Derrick Henry of Alabama. I think he's going to test a little bit. I think he's a gamer. He plays well in the games. But with the history of Alabama running backs recently in the NFL being a little bit
Is it that mixed, bad anymore?
It's mixed. Lacy's been
Mark
okay.
Mark Ingram?
Okay.
Mark Ingram's been pretty good lately.
Trent Richardson, not so good.
No.
TJ Yeldon? Yeldon, okay. I think mixed results. I think that there's going to be a microscope on Henry. I think maybe he's going to come in off the banquet tour, off the national championship, eating a couple too many pizzas, and he's not going to test so well.
I'm going to go with and this is – it's slightly coming from bias only because of my knowledge of how these guys train throughout college and what I expect them to do at the NFL Combine. But I believe from a talent standpoint and a testing standpoint that almost every single Ohio State Buckeye is going to be in the top five at their position at the Combine. Bosa with vertical leap and bench press and his 40 and Ezekiel Elliott as a running back and what he'll do. Michael Thomas might not be the blazer, but Braxton, people are talking about Braxton potentially giving Chris Johnson's 40 time a run for the money at the Combine.
Hey, let's not, no spoiler alert there.
Okay,
right there.
There you go. That being said, of those Buckeyes, the one who I expect, and we talked about him since we started talking about defensive line, I don't necessarily – the one that is in question for me, because I've never been enamored with his play, even though he's very productive, and he's kind of got a little bit of a blah body, is Adolphus Washington.
Okay.
So he's the one guy that, as a Buckeye, which, you know, a lot of Browns fans are all naturally, organically Buckeye fans, will be staying in tune to the Combine. Adolphus Washington, it may be tough to overly impress at the Combine because there's so much talent along the defensive line in this draft.
Interesting. All right. I'm going to go with the guy who is going to turn everybody's head, Jared Goff.
Surprise.
Breaking news.
Shocker.
Teddy 2.0.
No, he's bigger than Teddy, though.
No, but I mean, in your mind, he's Teddy 2.0.
Yes. Now, the one guy who won't live up to expectations, surprisingly, is going to be Laquon Treadwell. I don't think he's going to run a blazing 40. I don't think he's going to have a crazy vertical. The guy just flat out produces.
Anyway, and he slides to us in round two?
No. People still have him going in the top 10, but I just don't think he's going to put up like the combine numbers that make people go, oh, my God, but he's going to be a very good football
player. Would be what? Sub 4.5, 36-plus-inch vertical.
He won't go sub 4.5.
Right.
Yeah.
He'll be sub 4.6.
I don't remember him getting caught from behind too often, though.
No. Allen Robinson ran a 4.5 and just led the league in catches of more than 20 yards.
Teddy 3.0, Allen Robinson.
Oh, God, love that guy. Did you see the tattoo? Hold on. Have you seen Allen Robinson's tattoo?
No. Is it of you?
No, you know the catch. It should be. It is of a grown man.
Fantastic.
You know when they beat, when Penn State beat Michigan, and he made that catch, like the leaping catch over the Michigan defender on the end zone like this?
I'm well aware of the catch, yes.
He has that tattooed on his body with the Michigan player leaping over and that guy's name. And so they were tweeting back and forth at each
other.
Who
was the guy?
What did we say his name was?
I don't know. Channing?
Channing. And they were going back and
those
forth.
Those are from the dark days.
They were going back and forth on Twitter. And finally, Allen Robinson just sent him a picture of himself from Hawaii in his Pro Bowl jersey wearing a couple of lays of his arms around two Hawaiian ladies. It was like, yeah, aloha, I believe he said. Go ahead. Wow, the Rams have announced the release of James Laurinaitis, Chris Long, and Jared Cook.
Hold on. James Laurinaitis is going to be on the cruise tomorrow.
And he is going to be free to do what he wants.
I feel like you'll need to be buying him a few rounds.
I feel like.
Give us some insight.
The
Chris Long?
Chris Long. Wow.
Jared Cook? Never really panned out. Good athlete at times.
Chris
though.
Long.
Tight end, right?
I mean, that, uh-huh. I wonder if that's just because they have so many defensive linemen there. But the guy, you know, Jeff Fisher's an idiot. You know, everybody loves that guy. He's a terrible football guy. He's had 7 winning seasons in, I think, 46 years as a coach.
Captain 500.
Captain below 500 is what they should call him now.
Question number 8 in today's marathon forecast. Will someone break Chris Johnson's 40-yard dash record at the combine, which is 4.24 seconds?
I'm going to say yes, because if you look over the course of time, times in like the 100 and all these other events get quicker, and so it's time for somebody to break the record. I think it happens here this year.
I'll say yes. I threw myself out there. I don't know if Braxton's that fast, but they said he's running.
I saw him say that he wants to run a 4.28.
Correct, which would still not break the record. Right. But it'd be a shock to have anybody break the record because it's just that fast. But as you said, every year, bigger, faster, stronger, just by a little bit, those tenths start to add up, and eventually, boom, someone breaks it. So I'm not going to say someone breaks it this year. Someone will tie him this year.
Ooh, I say no.
Stood for a long time. It's like Bob Beamon. Didn't Deion once run like a 4.1 that was just not recorded? I find it hard to believe in his prime that there was anybody ever faster than Deion.
Joey Galloway, man.
Oh yeah, he could fly.
Joey Galloway could fly.
I've seen in person Joey Galloway, and this was Dave Kennedy, our strength coach, run a handheld 4.19. With my own two eyes. I'm standing over his shoulder.
So as a player, and you're around this a lot, does it look like when you see that, are you like, oh, my God?
Yes.
It looks that much different than a 4.3.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. And you can, and for anybody, as you tune into the Combine, and again, stay tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for all Cleveland Browns news about the Combine, is pay attention to the starts. A good 40 is determined in the start and the first 10 yards. If it's sloppy, if it's a bad start or a stumble, no matter how fast you are, Chris Johnson can't make up for a stumble or a bad 10 yards with high-end speed. You got to get out. That's how you break the records. That's what guys are focusing the last 2 months, those that haven't played in a bowl game or played in a bowl game months ago. That's all they're working on, is that first 10 yards and then that high turnover to finish that 40 yards. You actually want to run a 50.
Bill Belichick thinks it hurts rookies that they train for combine drills and not train to play football.
I believe it.
Yeah, but then Bill Belichick also goes to the combine and looks for things that they do well in the combine. It's catch 22. Like, it may hurt him, but there's people that catch his attention by what they do at the combine.
Like, and I take back
Rozai Dowling.
I had to
Chad
double check.
Jackson.
James Laurinaitis is not on the Buckeye Cruise. So,
oh, he's not.
He's not.
Maybe he will be now.
Got a little spare second time. Edition.
I misspoke.
I think we should do a Buckeye Michigan cruise.
Ram the boats into each other?
They have, like, you know, some friendly competition, some beach volleyball, you know, things of that nature. We could put it together. Come on, it's a great capitalistic idea.
There's only one university in the NCAA that could pull off the Buckeye Cruise, and they're the one that's doing it for 13 years.
Don't threaten Harbaugh. He'll start one up.
Sure. He'll sleep in people's bunks.
He'll do whatever he's got to do.
He'll come sleep in the bed with you. Just donate $10,000 or more. He'll do anything for money.
The man. Did you see we just signed the McCaffrey's brother?
It's great, and you're still seventh overall.
What are you talking about?
Your draft or the recruiting class. You get the number one guy and you're still seventh. So you'd have finished 13th if
without. I don't know what rankings you saw where we're seventh, but I'm talking about next year's number one quarterback.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens this year.
There's always next year.
There is this year.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And just remember, my friend.
Our odds just got better to win the whole thing.
You're just smug and you should be smug right now. But back in my day, being the old veteran that I am, we used to whoop up on you the same way. Times will turn again, my friend.
You know
it's always darkest before the dawn.
I was 10 years
always
old.
Always darkest before the dawn.
Lucy.
When we come back, we'll wrap this beauty up and send you on your way to a fine weekend.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gibbs, and the birthday boy, the kid. The kid, last year you shot a 76 in your 42nd year on this planet. What are you going to accomplish this year?
I'm hoping to get in the 70s again. But more, you know.
One time? You got to make it two.
Listen, the way my golf season started off, I'll be lucky for one. But. You know, from a golf perspective, I'd like to get in the 70s. From a life perspective, I just like to live life to its fullest, which I think I'm good at.
I think you are pretty good at that, the kid.
I may not to pat myself on the back, but I think I am one of the tops in that category.
Of life living?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a very important quality that people need to have.
So you guys share February.
We do.
Worst month of the
year.
I'm
an Aquarius. You're not an Aquarius.
I'm right on the border.
Yeah, he's on the border. You're on the other side.
Depending on what book you look in, I'm literally, my birthday sometimes says Aquarius, sometimes says Pisces.
What do you identify with?
Depends which one's better.
Well, which one is?
It depends on the day. I mean, I don't really look at the horoscopes, but if I ever do, I look and see which one's better, and that's the one you go with. Why not?
Oh, fantastic. All right. That'll do it for us this week, Matt. Bon voyage.
Thank you, appropriately.
Yes, thank you very much. And speaking of Matt, Mateo's with the delicious Italian. Check it out in Olmsted Falls. Gibbs, you said it's not only good for a sit-down, it's also good for casual dining.
Awesome lunch. They have a bar area. You can watch. I usually go in there after golfing. We golf, watch the PGA Tour, sit at the bar, eat some good food. It's good stuff, man.
It was good. I'd recommend the lasagna. I'd recommend the ravioli.
I'd recommend the... chicken palm.
I'd recommend the gnocchi alla vodka. A lot of recommendations. And then once again, thank you to the lovely waitress at Barrio who saved my life. Next time I go in there, I'm going to get her name. I was too out of it to get her name. I was on my deathbed.
Yeah, Marissa will remember who it is.
Marissa will know. Marissa's the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Marissa again.
Shout out to Marissa. Shout out to everybody over there at Barrio.
Jake.
Yeah, Jake, the manager. Fine goatee, fine man.
Yeah, Jake, let's see if we can't get some sort of advertising package going.
We want to. Right now, he's probably saying, why buy the cow when the milk is free, my friend? Or, in my case, the half-and-half dairy creamer out of a little cup, a little
shot
glass.
Only in case of emergency.
Only in case of emergency. That's right. Rip the tab. All right. Thank you very much. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys, for the birthday boy, the kid, for Matt Wilhelm, for Jason Gibbs. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
Go cruising.
Here we go, Brown. Here we go.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.